Session number 8277.
Mr. Calloway, Reel 3. At this time, you'd been in action several times with your unit.
Yeah.
How were you treated by them as a boy soldier, so to speak?
Oh, very well. I always got on with everybody, and they were always very concerned about me to see that I was okay. And, they always had me in mind.
Did you form any friendships, individual friendships
yes,
with the men?
At different intervals with different people, so that I had several different chaps I'd been sort of friend pals with, what we call mucking in pals, because that's where you have your own old tin can for making a cup of tea between you, sort of thing, you know, that sort of thing. And that happened depending on where we were.
And the difference in age didn't seem to matter much?
No, not at all. It was just a question, well, Badger, you come and have a cup of tea with me, and then we'd probably stay together during that period. Sometime later, I'd be with another section or somewhere else, you see.
Did the men have any pet names for you, any nicknames for you?
No, Badger, that was all.
Badger?
Badger, which, of course, is the Indian for trumpeter or bugler. Badger, yes.
How did you get on with the other young trumpeters? Did you have any others in your...
Oakley was my first trumpeter. He was about 2 years older than me. Or, yes, about that.
So you'd be about 18?
He was about 18, 17 or 18, yes. And, I got on all right with him. He was a boy from India. I did meet him at home here long afterwards. But I don't know what happened to him. I think he went to Australia or something. Because we never reformed as units after we returned at all, you see. And everybody was, all units were broken up.
So, well, did you have an individual horse by this time? You used to ride hundreds of different horses, but had you now settled on one
horse?
Oh,
yes, I had my own horse from the very beginning when we mobilised. Yes.
And did you form any sort of relationship with the horses?
Oh, yes, rather, yes. As I could, I could jump off it and go and get the captain's horse, and she'd come up to me. It was a little mare. They got it from the 33rd Cavalry for me because it was small. And it would come up to me and just stand there. And then if I was to start eating something, it'd look round and about to say, well, what about me? And I'd often go and give it some of the biscuit or whatever. Yes.
So I can tell that you were very fond of the horse.
Oh, yes. And as I say, I could jump off, go and get the captain's horse, and she'd come straight up to me without any fuss.
Did you see to the horses yourself? What brushed
them
down?
Oh, yes. Grooming and all that. Yes, looking after them. And I could call my horse and stand, see it go its head up in the lines. I don't know how I used to do it. I had better teeth then, but I used to make a sucking noise through my teeth, and his head used to come up. Yes.
When?
Poor old thing. Hmm.
What happened? You were following up, following Cut.
Yes.
What was the next major action you were involved in? Was it Ctesiphon?
Ctesiphon was the next real action, yes. We only had spasmodic frighteners, as we call it, you know, just a few rounds here and there to shoo somebody off, Arab contingents perhaps for that, but not a force. But Ctesiphon was the next really big action. But we laid about months for that, of course.
Well, before we discuss that then, Ctesiphon, we were discussing earlier the 6th Division and the fact you did feel some sort of identity towards it, as well as to your...
Yeah.
Did you ever feel that you were in any way a forgotten army and that your exploits were not getting sufficient recognition and you weren't getting the reinforcements you needed?
Yes, I think there was that feeling that France was everything sort of thing and... Palestine was better looked after than we were, and we were felt rather neglected, I think.
Did you think that what you were doing and fighting the Turks down in was a worthwhile occupation, or did you really in your hearts feel that the Germans were the enemy? I mean,
Well, I mean, we had no. I don't think we thought along those lines at all.
You were just getting on
Just
with it.
getting on with the job. We were sorry for the chaps from Gallipoli. Of course, that was our downfall when they went. Because the Turks rushed all their troops from there down on us, you see. That's how we came to be mopped up at Testavon. Well, not mopped up, but we were beaten there.
Could you describe what you saw or what you did in the Battle of Ctesiphon?
Only just that the thing took place like the normal battle of Kut and so on, and then it wasn't concluded in daylight, so then we had taken certain of their trenches, and we had to use those as a night stop, as it were. And they attacked almost all night, but Drew withdrew about dawn, and they withdrew completely so that we could find a certain amount of time to deal with the wounded and what have you.
What did you and your battery do during the battle?
Well, it was just plain gunfire.
From a static position, or did you move
Yes,
up?
very slight, very short moves.
And you were again doing your horse holder and
Yes,
signaller.
that's right, yes.
You still hadn't yet worked on the guns ever.
No.
During the Battle of Ctesiphon, could you see what was happening, or was it all shrouded in dust and
Well,
mirage?
it was mostly, well, the daytime was, well, it was normal for us to see what was going on, but it went on into the night, you see, to
When you
night
say you
attack.
could see what was going on, what
Well,
sort of thing would you see?
you could you could see what our gunners were doing, and the blast of the infantry. You could get all the rattle and what have you of that, of course.
Could you actually see infantry advancing?
Up to a point, yes, and then they would be bogged down and taking over some of their trenches and that sort of thing, and then of course the night closed in and they made their attacks at night, so we were lucky to hold on.
Was the arch, the Ctesiphon Arch,
Testavon Arch,
was
yes.
it a dominant feature on the
Oh yes,
landscape?
very, very much.
Did
There today.
you shoot at it at all, or was it used as an observation post by the Turks?
The infantry opened up and they thought there was a machine gun up in it somewhere, but I don't. That was a bit of a myth, I think. It couldn't. It was too huge for anybody to get cocked up in one of those places.
But you didn't shoot the, none of the
No,
artillery shot
no,
it.
no.
Did they make conscious efforts to avoid it, do you know, or?
No, it was just left because nobody was wanting to interfere with it or waste ammunition. And it wasn't being defended.
Were you aware, did you ever move forward to the trenches you'd captured, or did you just stay basically where you were during the night?
Basically, we stayed where we were, the artillery, yes.
Giving support fire, or?
Yes.
Were you running short of ammunition by this time?
Well, pretty well, yes, because it had been quite a heavy day in the battle, and but I still think we had our second line of wagons, of course.
Were you aware that you'd lost the Battle of Ctesiphon at the time?
Well, we were well aware that we hadn't got through, and that they'd cleared because they were holding us.
Were you aware of the consequences that the ordinary trooper and yourself
No.
were you aware of the consequences and the necessity of retreat?
Not at the time until we moved and realised that we weren't going to move forward.
And how did you feel about retreat?
Well, we weren't to know what was going to happen even then. But no doubt the fact that Gallipoli folded up enabled the Turks to bring down reinforcements.
Did you feel that at the time? Did you know
No, we
Gallipoli?
didn't know much about it at the time.
Could you describe the events of the retreat as you saw them?
Well, we just pulled out and kept going all the next night, the following night. And they'd withdrawn as well. they were just as prepared to move back to their second position and let us get out of it, because they received as good a pasting as we had.
So you feel that
it was a mutual withdrawal, really.
The conventional sort of description of it as a Pyrrhic victory for Townsend.
Yeah,
is fairly correct then.
Yeah.
That both sides.
Yes.
Didn't feel they'd won.
No, that's right.
And you felt that at the time.
Yes.
So you were pulling back.
Mm.
Did the unit get demoralised at all by the length of the retreat? Because you did pull back quite a long way.
Yes, they were. Chaps were pretty well exhausted, of course, the infantry especially, and thinned out a bit too. But we hadn't much time to sit and think. We had about a day and a half while they made up their mind whether they were going to move back or what. We couldn't defend where we were, I suppose. And we had a lot of prisoners to get out of the way, a whole tremendous number of prisoners we took. And I remember the Norfolks going off with them in great columns. And then we were back at our base with all the camp tents and what have you there. And they tried a bluff by pitching all the tents to make it look as if we were going to stay. And then during the night, we scarpered.
So you pitched your camp. Did you pitch your tent?
All the tents were pitched in different places, you see, to make it look as if we were settling. And then during the night we cleared out.
You took the tents with you?
No, left them standing, you see. Left the whole lot standing. We couldn't cart anything with us, and we were lucky to get some of the steamers away that we'd unloaded the stuff from. I know it sounded silly, and we thought it was daft, pitching all these tents, you see. But we realised when we were moving off at about 2 or 3 in the morning that we were leaving it as a bluff. And so that's how we did it. But they caught up with us in the middle of the night. And there was an exchange of rifle fire for a while.
Behind you?
Yes, and everybody laid flat, no lights, nothing, and no sound. We didn't even retaliate. So that left them guessing whether it was the whole force or only part of it. And the next morning, oh, God, all hell let loose. They got us really nailed. And we were lucky to get out of it. I know, we'd never been so close, my battery.
Could you tell me what happened exactly?
Well, during the night there was sporadic rifle fire. And I suppose they thought they'd overrun us, actually. Some of the infantry had been met by the Turks who were advancing in the dark, you see. Anyway, the thing came to a full stop then. But we weren't expecting the sudden burst at dawn. They were ready for us at dawn, and by gosh, they didn't half-paste us.
Artillery fire as well.
Dreadful artillery fire, and the infantry, of course, had to skedaddle, get out of it, because we couldn't, it was all so close.
They were running, were they?
Well, no, what I mean is we were all on top of one another, in the dark, you see, that's how it happened. But the 14th Hussars and the 16th Ariana Lancers had come up, and they were able to break the fighting, as it were. That frightened the Turks back a bit and allowed us to get away. And I remember that there was a powwow there. I was with my captain, Townsend, and all of them there. And Nixon came up from... He'd come up with the cavalry brigade. They had a powwow, and they said, right, don't stop till you get there. That was the, what he called, meant cut. So from then on, it was heave-ho and away all the time. And the Arabs harassed us, from thousands of Arabs all along the river banks. Pot-shotting at us.
Must have been a rather... frightening experience.
Yes, and it was bad luck for any wounded. Because, you see, there was not much chance of picking them up and carting them. The initial burst of that morning left us with a hell of a lot of wounded, which we managed to get in transport carts.
But this after, is your own unit had a lot of wounded.
Yes. And so that... it was a... A very sketchy withdrawal, if you understand me, at the time. not knowing.
Were you adequately covered? Was there always adequate covering between you and the Turks, infantry cover, or were you sometimes sort of...
The infantry cover was there, but it was very close to us, and we were really getting 1, 2, 3, 4 bang shrapnel straight onto the guns, and that had very rarely happened. It was close range. And, of course, the Turks and the Arabs, by the thousand, built up on the river to stop us from taking the river, you see.
This is what you meant by the Arabs being in at the kill.
Yes, that's right.
Whoever was
winning.
Yes,
masses of them. And I always remember the pall of dust that was caused by our movement in the day. And you just see these Arabs through the dust by the river. Of course, we lost the naval vessel there, the Firefly or whatever it was.
She was
blown up, yes, right near us.
What happened?
They got a boiler, straight in the boilers. And it blew up, actually, so I suppose it must have got magazine as well. I don't know what happened to those poor chaps in the Navy. They must have got away somehow. Several of them were killed, of course, there. But it was a horrible time.
Were you getting your food and water? Or were
Only what we only what we carried.
Hard
Russian. Biscuit, yes. That's all we had. Until we got back into Kut.
What about water? Were you getting that from the river?
That we could get from the river at night. Yes. When we stopped, if we stopped. But I'm sorry for the infantry, because they had to keep going. Because quite a lot of, a hell of a mileage. About 60 miles, I think.
What were the conditions like underfoot then?
Oh, it was dry and cold. Because it was coming to winter, you see.
The ground was dry as well.
Oh, yes.
What was the surface like? Was it sand or
sandy,
was it mud?
Yes, sandy.
What was the predominant colour of the landscape?
Just sand. No shrubbery at all. No shrubs or any of that sort of thing anywhere. Just desert, in other words.
So all you'd see is... desert. Was it flat?
Oh, yes.
Flat desert.
Yes, occasional. Years ago, apparently, they had been farming that for wheat and stuff, but that had all ceased during the war. And there were these, I suppose, water channels that were supposed to be fed from the river by a means of a dipper, that sort of thing, big thing, you know, but that they were all dry, so there was no water unless you could get to the river bank.
Did these channels cause you any trouble? Because you've got the artillery to get across.
Yes, sappers had to break through them, dig through them, so as to make a passage. Otherwise, we couldn't have got up and over.
But this would have been done on the advance, I presume, and they'd still
yes.
be there.
Yes. And one thing that stands out in my mind, I remember seeing an officer of the infantry standing with his rifle up and three or four of his sepoys stood down beside him, and a mass of Arabs, thousands of them. The sepoys had a machine gun, and he was just sort of holding them, daring them to fire while we cleared. It stands out in my mind. He stood up on one of these things where you could see him, you know. I've often wondered who he was and whether he got through. But they were clearing the backup, you see, the rear guard.
By the river, were there still the bands of palm trees?
No, none. That's all there. That only extends to Gurna and just beyond. None after that.
So how wide? And how wide was the river at this stage?
Oh, quite wide. Yes.
A mile, or?
Well, I should say about no. Difficult to say. I suppose probably less than half a mile. I should think.
During the retreat, were there any signs at all of any of the units' morale slipping a bit?
No, I don't think so, because it was a question of you could dally, you know, to get on, and nobody was arguing about moving.
But there was no question of panic?
No. No.
In your unit, by now you'd suffered some actual casualties in your
yes,
unit.
Yes, yeah.
How did you react to having some friends or acquaintances actually killed or wounded. Did that affect you in any... did it bring home...
No, it was just one of those things you had in the back of your mind. It was bad luck. I know one or two that went down that morning. And several others I saw in one of these carts. What do you call it? Mule cart that we had in the old Indian Army. Two or three of our chaps in there would have been wounded at the time and hardly bandaged up or anything. They were being glad to be getting a lift away. But those that were killed or whatever, well, of course, we left the lot.
They weren't buried?
No.
Did you feel bad about leaving their bodies?
Well, it was one of those things, you just accept it. There's nothing you can do about it. The great thing was to make sure they were all dead. And it's rotten luck if you accidentally leave somebody.
Was there a feeling that the Turks or the Arabs would not care for them if they weren't dead?
I don't say that. The Arabs would, no, probably have knifed them just for what they got. That was a favourite thing. They'd slit your throat, you see. Terrible. And that happened to the wounded a lot. If wounded were left out overnight, very often they were all there with their throats cut the next day. Just for paltry, for sheer hatred, I suppose.
During this period, while the Arabs were harassing you, I suspect that the Arabs weren't the most popular people in the world. With
no. And God knows there were some thousands of them. I've never seen so many.
What did they look like? Did they work?
Oh, they were all raring to go with their guns. Yeah, they all had these blunderbusses.
Did they have horses?
No, all on foot.
And were in what we'd call traditional Arab dress? Or
yes, oh yes, yes. Oh, there were thousands of them.
During the retreat, before we get to Kut, I'd like to look at the basic health of the troops before the siege,
yeah.
You know, either state of the health of the troops when they came into Kut before the siege started.
Oh, we're pretty fair, I think. Yes.
And the items that go up to make the health of the troops, things like that it wasn't too, the cold and the heat,
yeah. Had
that affected with a sunstroke or cold?
No,
or?
No, we didn't get cases of sunstroke, really. It was only if a chap neglected himself, really. So long as you kept your helmet on, keep the sun away. But heat exhaustion, yes, you could get that.
And what were the symptoms of that?
Well, you'd just flake out and want reviving and a hell of a lot of care. Of course, you've got very high temperatures.
What about... did it cause anything like Dobie's itch or that sort of thing? Did that sort of ailment
start? No, the only thing we would get would be what they called Baghdad's sores, they called them. If you knocked yourself, you got a sore, and it used to take ages to heal.
What kind of sore?
A sore. It would fester and keep festering, dry off and fester again. You had no means of clearing them. It was an awful thing, really. Some people got so bad they had to be backloaded. And of course,
did you ever get one of these?
Yes, sometimes. But our medical, what do you call it, was very skimped, really, for what it was.
You didn't feel it was adequate?
No, I don't think it was, not by comparison of today.
In what way did you feel it wasn't adequate at the time?
Well, the only thing you had was a few pills, in case you were, finding yourself unable to clear, and others for just a cold or something of that sort. But there was very little else. A number 9 pill symptom was a number 9 pill. It was a joke, really.
How about when people were wounded? Like you mentioned the chaps from your unit who were just loaded and they didn't seem to have any bandage.
That's right,
properly.
Yes.
When they were, did you feel that the wounded were treated adequately?
As well as could be, yes. We had one assistant surgeon with us, you see, for the battery. And that's the lot, really.
What about the provision for evacuation under reasonably sanitary conditions, safe conditions?
What, for the wounded?
For the wounded.
Oh, they were on the steamers, of course. They'd be taken down the river. and I never saw one of those to see what the conditions were like, but it must have been pretty awful, very primitive.
Had the flies, did you describe the nature of the fly pest?
Oh, terrible, really. Thick, you could be black with flies. And going along in the heat there, you'd see chaps' backs covered in flies. You wonder where the hell they came from.
Did they go for the moisture or what?
They just simply clung on to you. I don't know why it was, but then at night they'd disappear.
What sort of fly were they? Could you describe their appearance?
Only a type of house fly, like a house fly.
Like a blue bottle?
Yes, not so big as a blue bottle, but that type of thing.
Did they bite at all?
They didn't worry you, no, unless you had a saw. You know, that was the trouble. You'd have to keep the flies off.
Did you have trouble keeping them off your food and out of your eyes and
yes.
mouth?
Yes, oh yes. Yes.
In what way? How did you try and...
Well, you just had to just keep on
waving
off them. Yes. Yes.
Did they disgust you at all, the flies, or were they just...
Well, you accepted it. It's like the beetles, what we call the dung beetles, the black beetles. There were millions of them about, rolling the dung away. Horse dung. Dung beetles, we call them. They were always there. They never worried us, but that's how they thrived.
With all...
And lice, of course, was another problem.
And this by now was affecting most people, wasn't
it? Yes, yes.
What was the nature of the problem? Could you describe how they...
Well, you see, we had... we could only dip in the river occasionally. We had no means of bathing or anything. We never had any hot water or anything like that to clean up and bath properly. And changing clothes was another problem. Washing and whatever. You could dip it in the water and scrub it a bit. But there was no real turnover of laundry, you know what I mean?
And so lice came?
Yes, you have to be...
How did you try and get rid of them, or did you just not?
Just put up with them and do your best to clear them.
How did you try and clear them?
Well, not turpentine, but some... what do you call it? The disinfectant. Put that in water and wash your clothes that way. Get the smell of that, help to keep them down. But you couldn't do it very, very long.
Did they bite you?
Yes, yes. It was itching and what have you. You get sores from it too.
What about dysentery? Had this started yet? Before you reached Cut?
Oh, yes. Dysentery was a problem for many people. Those are, I suppose, the casualty rate was heightened by so many.
Did you suffer at all yourself?
No, fortunately, I don't think I did.
But how about the chaps that did? What was their appearance?
Well, they used given these number 9 pills, they called them, and that seemed to settle it.
So it wasn't really serious dysentery in many cases?
No, serious cases would be put in hospital and taken away. But if we had an assistant surgeon who could give you these pills, it might clear it.
Were the general sanitary conditions all right then, or not? The latrines and such like?
Well, all we had was the slots in the ground, dug away from where we were camped, out at the Wasname, and then filled over in the day. It's the only way.